Nick and Jake. A nostalgic look back at those halcyon days of the McCarthy era. A journey through literature and history, starring Alan Arkin, Tom Conti, and Ally McGraw. Previously on Nick and Jake, Nick made an enemy in Roy Cohn.
I don't know who does your investigating, but if it's Mr. Cohn, I suggest you take away his junior GMAT kit.
But found himself cornered by Senator McCarthy.
Would you like to tell this committee about your associations with known gangsters?
Introducing in this episode,
Marjorie Pyle Caraway. It was the little things that drove them apart.
Mrs. Nicholas Caraway, 40125 Oak Park Drive, Oak Park, Illinois, February 21, 1953. Nicholas, I've always had my suspicions about you and your little red thrush. I'm only amazed that you thought you could pull the wool over the eyes of a man like Senator McCarthy. A woman has a right to expect a man who'll take care of her and put her on a pedestal, just the way our country has a right to expect people to honor her values and our American way of life. Well, I'm keeping the house and the car, and all our possessions. I deserve them. A locksmith is here today, changing the locks on all of the doors and installing an alarm system. It used to be safe to leave your door unlocked in this town. No more. Children used to respect their elders. You used to be able to walk down the street, and every kid you saw, you knew who their family was, and they'd tip their caps and give a little curtsy, just as if the whole village was part of bringing them up. But that's another thing the damn communists have taken away from us. I knew when I married you that you had artistic tendencies, that silly book. But I let myself believe you had put it all behind you. I suppose love is blind. I should have seen it all along. The way our son has turned into a wild-eyed bohemian just breaks my heart. Certainly, Alden didn't take after my side of the family. The Piles are decent stock. I don't understand how General Eisenhower could have appointed a man like you to a position of influence. Senator Taft never would have done it. I never trusted Eisenhower. You do know how cozy he was with the Russians during the war. Well, I believe the country is coming to its senses, and Senator McCarthy will be our next president. From now on, you may direct all contact with me to my lawyers, Quail and Quail. With no affection, Marjorie Caraway.
A New York Journal American exclusive by Dorothy Kilgallen, February 22, 1953. State Department Pinko, Little Red Thrush and Conspiracy. This reporter has learned of a secret correspondence between Little Red Thrush, Ronnie Gilbert, and Nicholas Caraway, the State Department commie recently unmasked by the McCarthy Committee. We have obtained a copy of a letter in which the Thrush tells Pinko Nicko, "If I were in Washington, I'd probably be tinkering with the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence."
From the desk of John Foster Dulles, February 23, 1953. Mr. Carraway, I expect your letter of resignation on my desk by 5 p.m. today. JFD.
Nicholas Carraway, care of YMCA, 1711 Rhode Island Avenue, Northwest, February 26. Dear Marjorie, after all the catastrophic events of the last 10 days, your bombshell is neither the most unexpected nor, if truth be told, the most wounding. If we're both honest, we'll admit that this breakup has been a long time coming. Our marriage has been an abandoned battlefield for many years now. I don't think we need quarrel over the division of spoils. I shan't want much. I've instructed Dick Daly to sort out the money and property and make sure you have everything you need and want. As for my little red thrush, as you and the press and that idiot McCarthy delight in calling Miss Gilchrist, she is as innocent in all this as a songbird struck by a speeding train. The idea of my having had an affair with that young lady would be laughable if the effect of all this weren't so tragic. She has, I would guess, less knowledge of sex than you do. That our conjugal life managed to produce a son proves, I think, the existence, if not of divine miracles, then at least of a cosmic sense of humor. My immediate plans are vague. I only know that they call for putting an ocean between me and the country that until a week ago I served without reservation. I still believe in this country, but at the moment the evidence suggests that it does not think much of me. If you should have any reason to get in touch with me, you can write care of the Guaranteed Trust Company in Paris. I'm going to try to find Alden and see what I can do about making up for things. A good marriage is a terrible thing to waste. Ours, however, is one the world will little note nor long remember. Yours, Nick.
Encrypted and Decoded, 224. From Irving Kristol to Alan Dulles. Dulles, do we need someone else to shadow Barnes? It looks as though Carraway's out of the picture. Or are you working with McCarthy on this? Kristol.
Encrypted and Decoded, 225. From Alan Dulles to Irving Kristol. Work with McCarthy? It would be easier to work with Gargantua. But McCarthy can be a useful idiot. He's dropped a gift into our lap regarding Operation Elba with this Carraway business. It's a perfect cover for Carraway to ingratiate himself with the lefties. Right now, he's feeling like a truck hit him. We'll let him lick his wounds on his own to keep him convincing before we bring him in and brief him. But he's a company man. He'll play ball. Dulles.
Nick and Jake was written and directed by Jonathan Richards and Tad Richards, with music by Dave Grusin. Featured in the cast were Tom Conti as Nick Carraway, Joan Darling as Marjorie Carraway, Ambassador Joseph Wilson as Alan Dulles, Jack Caffrey as Irving Kristol, Catelyn Richards as Dorothy Kilgallen, and Frederick Turner as John Foster Dulles. Tune in next time to hear Nick say,
"Arriving Paris Thursday under cloud."